We hear a few of the verses again from John chapter 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." In the name of Jesus. Jesus comes to us in ways we never expect. He comes to us in weakness. God clothed in humanity. God born in a manger, God living among the poor, eating and drinking with outcasts, the disreputable, tax collector, sinners, beggars, all sorts of sinners. A God who doesn't come in magnificence or the magnificence of lightning and clouds and thunder, riding on a beautiful horse with his heavenly entourage, but instead he comes on a donkey, a young donkey. Although the crowd who gathered, we're told, were there because they'd heard about his power, raising his friend Lazarus from the dead, he's come instead, not in power, but he's come simply riding on a humble animal, headed to do what no one would expect. He would ride in to suffer and die on a cross for sinners. It's no wonder our expectations of our Lord are always wrong, for we don't even know ourselves, much less God. We expect ourselves to find a way to make things right with a God whom we've rebelled against, we've dishonored. We expect the good people to go to heaven and the bad ones to go to hell. We expect that God would grade on some sort of a curve or forget about our sin, our awful wickedness, all that we've committed, all our years of commandment breaking, and instead that he would accept us because we've done some good things, we've showed up at church, or we've given money to this or that good cause. In fact, we falsely think we're better than this person or that person, or these people we read about in the Bible, like Peter. We aren't as bad as we could be. Our kids are better than this person's kids or those kids over there. Yet all this thinking is nothing but useless, dead religion, false teaching, and all the things our old Adam loves to contemplate. Some way for us to become our own Savior. We don't need someone to do it for us. We need no Jesus on the cross. We can do it ourselves. This is the way of the flesh, the way of sin, and always the way of death. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus, however, not only is our Creator, the one who spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light, also spoke from the cross, "Father, forgive them." He doesn't come in the way a sinner full of guilt and shame would expect. Rather than wait for the sinner to clean himself up a little or do something of merit, something to earn the favor of God, Jesus comes in the midst of all of our sin, all of our shame and suffering, and he comes into the world to be among us, to be present with the sinner in all their sin, to actually take that sin as the Lamb of God who takes upon himself the sin of the world and head to Jerusalem on a donkey to take on false accusation, ridicule, scorn, to suffer and to die, but to do it in your place for your sin, to humbly receive all of this instead of demonstrating his power in these events of Holy Week. He does so in weakness for you. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Even today, our Lord doesn't come to us in the ways we would expect. He doesn't come through loud, flamboyant, big events, or the most important people in the world gathering together in this important place to get things done. He doesn't come in a loud voice from heaven with big trumpets, all kinds of fanfare. Instead, he comes to you truly, certainly, and actually in the weakness of preaching. From a preacher who himself is a sinner in need of the same Savior as everyone else. So Paul tells the church this in 1 Corinthians, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world didn't know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." God's chosen the weakness of preaching and words spoken by a sometimes stumbling, mumbling, bumbling pastor who's also a sinner and a saint at the same time, just like you who were baptized in him. He's chosen the simplicity of this to deliver his gifts of forgiveness to you. He's also chosen the simplicity of water with a promise to wash you clean, to give you personally his death and his resurrection, all that he wins during Holy Week through water and the Word. He's chosen to come to you personally and actually in bread and wine, that you receive this same Jesus who entered into Jerusalem on a humble donkey, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried for you. He comes to you while you're still a sinner, in your actual sin and your fear, in your shame, in your uncertainty, and even your outright denial and unbelief. He comes to you to turn you, to repent you, to give you faith, to cleanse you, and to make you his own. He comes in weakness and humility to take the judgment for your sin, to cast out the devil and his demons so that you'd be free, that you could walk in newness of life as a friend of Jesus, as his brother. He's come for you and all men to deliver this victory over sin, death, and the devil to you and to all the world. John 12:31-33. "Now this is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So Jesus comes to you this morning in the weakness of words, water, bread, and wine, to deliver to you the forgiveness of all of your sins, that you may know and believe that all he does and accomplishes this Holy Week, as we hear again and again these words from Jesus, that all of it is for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.